Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, a very good evening to everyone. It is that time again for At Home with Victoria. I'm Victoria Gaither, television journalist, an all-around beautiful, great person. On the other end of this line is my radio hubby, entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Michael, what have you been up to today? What is going on in your world?
My world has been nothing. I was freezing my tuchus off as I went to get groceries this morning in the driving snow. And other than that, it was a day of pleasantries, basic boring laundry, and, you know, the cat puked this morning. So that was the highlight of my day up until this moment when I'm really thrilled, Victoria. Back in July of last year, I was able to go ahead and see this fantastic entity, I'll call her, Sybil Brunchen. We saw it with Bob Dineen at the Cowgirl in West Village at 519 Hudson Street. And this person was hilarious, charming, brilliant, beautiful beyond measure. She's been known as the toast of both coasts. So I'm going to introduce you right now to Miss Sybil Brunchen. And Sybil, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No, thank you, Victoria and Michael. It's so enchanting to be here. And I just want to tell all your nice listeners at home that even though it sounds like we're all in the same room, this is the technology of tomorrow. We're each calling each other from our own homes now, so we don't even really have to see each other anymore to be best friends, best radio friends.
Yay.
It's so exciting. And if there's an image I think to bring up, this is very much like the opening minutes of Bye Bye Birdie, in which we're in our own little cubicles and we're high, maybe. Hi, Sybil, how are you? It's just wonderful to be doing this show with you live and doing it with our telephones. I'm in a bubble bath right now, and I'm very comfortable with my champagne and my et cetera caviar.
Well,
that is
actually
quite a visual.
I am actually sitting at my table looking at my fish fight each other, as they so often do at my house now. Michael, where are you, in the dining room at your house?
I'm in the dining room at my house, yes. Yeah. So it very much is Bye Bye Birdie. And want to mention right now, too, we've got a live chat room going, and Kay Young, 30, is joining us, Roy Singleton and Shannon Sebold from the UK, as well as guest 3462 and guest 4087. If you have any questions for Sybil, feel free to go ahead and post them up in chat. But, Sybil, let's start it off with finding out exactly. I got home from the Cowgirl, did some research on you. I had no idea you come from royalty. And quite a pedigree you have, so to speak. So please tell us a little bit about the background of Miss Sybil Brunchen.
Well, I don't like to, you know, it's Euro trash for people to say that they're related to so-and-so or that they have a title. I happen to have been born actually on an ocean liner heading to the United States. My parents were from a small principality in Europe called Greater Marnier in the Triple Sec Islands, and I happened to be from that family. But they wanted me to be an American citizen, so we were heading to America. And I was born on the Chicken of the Sea ocean liner. It was a lovely ocean liner, and we were, of course, in first class, and it was very sweet. And we came to the United States, and I immediately went into show business, immediately as a child, as a toddler. So I've sort of turned my back on my royal title. I, in fact, could ascend the throne, which I believe at this point is a director's chair with my initials embroidered on the back somewhere in Greater Marnier, but it's really a meaningless title, meaningless. More importantly, though, I was crowned many years ago the Imperial Court of New York's first Empress for Knight of a Thousand Gowns, which we'll talk about in a minute. But that's a wonderful charity thing that I'm involved with here in New York, and I'm very proud of that. So that's much more of an important title to me.
Well, it definitely important, and also the fact, too, that I read somewhere that, too, by the age of six, you could accompany yourself on the ukulele, the pan flute, the glockenspiel, and the sousaphone, which is no small feat for a six-year-old.
It was interesting. They were all child-sized musical instruments, and they were sewn very painstakingly by my cleaning lady to my corduroy jumpsuit. So I actually was able to reach them all, and sort of by tap dancing and clogging and blowing the pan flute, et cetera, I was able to amuse people who often threw not only quarters, but back then, 50-cent pieces, because they hurt more. But that's a whole different story, really. It was always rough being a child in vaudeville, and I'm very I'm very much involved in child welfare causes, especially in show business. So that's a cause that I feel very strongly about, having been a child pelted with currency. So I don't like going back down memory lane, though. I'm trying to feel nice right now.
It brings back bad memories for you being hit with those.
Yes, I'm feeling teary. I'm feeling teary-eyed in my bubble bath right now about those days. Did either
Michael,
of you have a background in
I was going to say, Michael, you did not tell me that I would be crying laughing this entire interview. Shame on you, Michael K.
Well, I wanted to go ahead and keep it a surprise. But, Vic, do you play any instruments at all?
No, well, I don't. I will tell you when I was a kid, you know, when we're in music class and they try to force us to play an instrument, I tried to play the violin, and the violin is one of my favorite instruments to listen to, and I sucked at it. I couldn't figure it out, and my poor parents and my poor family members had to listen to me until one day, I think my grandmother said, take that back to school and turn it back into the music department because you're really not good at it. So no.
Oh, Victoria, I so sympathize. I was told that I should play the violin, but because of my vaudeville background, I kept using the Stradivarius as a ukulele, and my parents thought that was very extravagant. Arthur Godfrey liked it, though. I could play Tiny Bubbles on a Stradivarius. It was the most expensive little Hawaiian song you've ever heard. But no, I had to give it up, too.
Well, let me ask you this. So, because I myself, I'm always interested in people and sort of how they came to choose the career and to do what it is that they want to do. So was there ever sort of a point in your life where you thought, you know what, this is what I want to do, and I'm really, really good at it?
I love that question, and I'm sorry to say that I've never found anything that I'm really good at, but I'm still looking, and I'm willing to take suggestions from callers at home. I'm only good at Facebook, and I'm trying to get a future in that, but apparently no one wants to pay. As far as I can see, Mark Zuckerberg and the Cutie Patootie twins, whatever their names were, are the only people that have made any money off Facebook. That's about the only thing that I'm really good at, and so that's about it. I host a mean game of bingo, and I host a good game of the Smarty Pants Review, but, I mean, clearly, these are not money makers. Mummy basically is the most clever person with smoke, mirrors, and a dollar bill. I can make that all look like Versailles, but really it's all just a grand illusion, darling. I'm not good at much of anything.
Well, that's
sure,
a bit of a lie,
I'm
too,
sure
because you...
all of your
go
fans
ahead,
would disagree. Go ahead, Michael. Yeah, I'm sure all of your fans would disagree. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I was just going to go ahead and mention, you were a great talk host back in 1985 in Cincinnati. You hosted, I believe it was five cable series shows on the gay cable network back in 1985, which was really a turning point at that time for gay entertainment. Now, there was A La Maison, there was, Be My Guest is one of my favorite shows.
Be My Guest,
there
was a game show. That was a funny game show. It was a takeoff on What's My Line. Those shows were all broadcast out of New York and went syndicated and went across the country to places like Cincinnati. And but that was back when cable, it's really funny because I'm sitting in the room right now and we've got one of the cable offices. And it's got a clock on it, and it's got a remote and everything. But back then, the cable in 1984 was a small box that you got that you put somewhere near your television. It had some push buttons on the top, and in order to run it, you had to walk over to the cable box, get out of your chair, walk to the cable box, press the button, and then it had 10 channels. It didn't have 10,000 channels. It had 10 channels, and they weren't even numbered because they felt that would confuse the home viewers. So what they did was they lettered them. They were A through J, and at that time, public access was Channel J, and Mummy, Robin Bird, and Al Goldstein were the only acts on Channel J. The station basically was blank with its own sort of graphic there, the Time Warner logo, and then on the hour, the half hour, you'd hear a blip and a gloop and a clink, and then suddenly some imagery would come up on the screen, and that would be a show for a half an hour or an hour, and then the screen would go blank again. Cable was very, very, very primitive at that time, but it was very exciting because much of the programming was live. We did it in live broadcast, as we're doing now. This is like a podcast deja vu for Mummy. It's very exciting.
Now, talk a little bit about you. You are a New York staple, a New York icon. You've performed at some of the most iconic studios, such as the Limelight Area, Roxy, Studio 54, The Saint, Twilo, The Palladium. Take me back to Studio 54 in its heyday, because this would have been, I'm guessing, too, like 85, 86 at this point?
Well, Studio actually was earlier than that, but the exciting thing was that Mummy did get in on the tail end of that. But I went to Studio all the time as a guest. I was very lucky and knew Steve Rubell quite well and knew the bartenders and was very much a part of that wonderful circuit. What can I say? You've read about it. You've seen it in films. It was the whole time then was very much like the second Roaring Twenties. There was music, there was fashion, there was style before the AIDS crisis, of course, like before the Great Crash in 1929. No one really thought about what was happening. And then, of course, reality set in, and we began losing people left and right, and eventually all the great clubs, I mean, the huge clubs like the Palladium, finally went under and were finally torn down. I mean, not only did they go under, but they were eventually demolished by corporate America, or NYU, as it's known. The thing that was exciting was the incredible creativity and fun and excitement and the sense that people were very open to each other and to new ideas and to new lifestyles. It wasn't quite so bigoted as it is today. We have a lot of bigotry in the world and a lot of sullenness in various parts of the country, which I think trails everywhere. But that was back in the heyday of the big clubs. There were very big clubs. There was nothing small. Nell's was considered revolutionary on 14th Street because it was tiny and intimate. It was more like a speakeasy. But everything was gigantic, like the Roxy. The Palladium was massive, huge. Yeah. So it was a very exciting time to perform and to meet people. You stood beside celebrities all the time. Constantly, big celebrities went to all the clubs, and they mixed with everybody, so no one felt that they were not a celebrity. It was a wonderfully magic thing. You could be a busboy, and you'd be standing beside Liza Minnelli and Halston and Yul Brynner, and you felt that you belonged there, and Liza Minnelli and Halston would be talking to you. People talked and were friendly. It was a much more interesting age. I love what we're doing right now on the air, and I love the age of computers, but I must say that in all honesty, this digitalization of the world, the interneting of the world, has in fact made us know more people, but without shaking their hands. I think that's an interesting thing we're living through right now. We're meeting more people, but only through our television screens. And I think that's why maybe 19-year-old kids can't shake hands and look a potential employer in the eye and say, "How do you do, sir? I'd like to apply for this job." They don't know what it is actually to sit and talk with someone because they're so busy texting to each other across the room.
there was an interesting discussion that I heard. I want to say it was either last month or 2 months ago on National Public Radio. And they were talking about the gentleman who actually developed the mouse for the computer, and the reason why he developed it, and I've got to find out what his name is and let's post it. But the reason why he developed it was because he wanted that to be something that actually brought people closer together, so that if you lived in America and you met someone in New Zealand or the UK. That with just the click of a mouse, you can sort of transport yourself into someone else's world. Now, what was interesting was that as he got older, he apparently, started to speak out and say, this mouse that I created did not do what I thought it was going to do.
Yes.
In fact, it did the total opposite. I thought that I was going to create something to bring sort of society, humanity, nations, countries together, but it's done completely the opposite. The mouse is now isolating people. So that made me think about what you were just saying in terms of kids and texting and all of that stuff. I want to throw this in because I just saw this on Facebook. Our really good friend Steve Silverman, and we talked about this, guys, before the show, but I wanted to mention that the Arizona governor, Jan Brewer, actually vetoed the anti-gay, what was considered the anti-gay bill. So I know
what is this breaking news? It's breaking news, Victoria?
Yes, this is breaking news. It's breaking news.
She did finally veto it.
Yes, she did. I'm looking at it right now. So let me just read this first paragraph. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoed Wednesday a controversial bill that the LGBT rights advocate said would have sanctioned anti-gay discrimination in the state. So, yes, she vetoed it.
Fantastic.
Well, I don't want to sound – Mummy is known as an optimist and is a joyous type person. So I will first of all say that is great news. On the other hand, and this is where the Irish comes out in me, Jan Brewer is damned to hell because she took too long to get around to doing it. This is a no-brainer. As soon as this was presented to her, she should have absolutely stopped what she was doing, got in front of the cameras and said, it's a ridiculous law. It is not only prejudicial and bigoted and small-minded, it is anti-business. Even if she couldn't bring herself to cancel, to veto it, as a person of moral upright behavior and of understanding and 21st century thought, she should have been canceling as a Republican because she should have said, my God, this is bad for business. We will have businesses turn on us. I think that she waited way too long, and I think that she is damned. She has ruined her reputation, and she can go to hell as far as I'm concerned because she waited too long to veto.
And you know what?
I agree.
And you know what? Also, when you talked about the business aspect, I actually talked about this on International Connection. I started a new show in New Zealand this week. So that was one of the stories there that I picked to talk about. But, you know, the Super Bowl will be played in Arizona next year. And I remember sitting there thinking, these people are freaking crazy. The Super Bowl is by far, and everyone in the world knows this, the largest, most popular, profitable American sport in the United States of America. I mean, that's like the Mac Daddy of the Mac Daddy. So why in the world would they even think, I mean, and it honestly surprised me that it even came up for a vote. It's like, really? Are you kidding me?
Exactly,
right?
And especially in this economic time that we're in right now, I can't believe that these people are so short-sighted, so parochial in their vision. They are so limited in scope that they can't even think in terms of good business practice. It's a level of flat worlderness that baffles me. But I don't want to get off on that. I'm supposed to be cheerful and nice on the radio. I'm not supposed to be a grumpy old woman.
No.
Yes,
I really wanted to hear your thoughts on it. And again, we had talked about this a little bit before the show.
Right.
And it just
well, that's why
that
I was posting. That's why I was posting all day funny captions under movie stills on my Facebook page. So if anyone's interested in what Mummy thinks about all of this, just go to my Facebook page. You can see all sorts of movie stills from All About Eve and Gone with the Wind with funny captions under them about Jan Brewer and the sorry state of affairs in Arizona. I can't resist being a political gadfly, and that's what I did. So you can go right there and see how Mummy stood on this. Oh, for heaven's sakes, I just realized, what if Jan Brewer actually is a Facebook friend of mine and saw what I was saying and changed her mind. Oh, how exciting. Oh, that's so very exciting. I don't wish to flatter myself, but I'm a little bit excited about the prospect of that. That is interesting.
Very interesting. You know what, also, I want to go ahead and be devil's advocate here for a second. Do you think the absolute revelation of the fact that had the Super Bowl pulled out of Texas, do you think that had any influence on Jan Brewer's decision to go ahead and boycott the veto?
Oh, I'm sure it scared the crap out of her, to be perfectly honest.
It's a lot of money lost in that state.
Yes. The bottom line is this, that people can thump the Bible as much as they want, but many, many of them, sadly, it all comes down to the almighty dollar. And that's a very sad state of affairs, really, because, you know, it's all well and good to have all of these highfalutin ideas and moral positions, but when it comes down to the almighty buck, a lot of people just become the Philistines that are talked about in the Bible. It's mostly about the dollar, and it makes me sad. It makes me sad. Because I'd really have more respect for her almost if she had said, I will never veto this and the Super Bowl be damned. I would consider her an enemy to my way of thinking of the lifestyles that I choose. But I would almost look at her and say, wow, you're a brave woman. Boy, you're brave. But to me, She's a coward. She waited too long. She should have done one or the other. In for a dime, in for a dollar is one of my old grandmother's old expressions. You're either in it or you're not. She should have turned her back on that law immediately and said, I veto it. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. Or she should stick to her guns and say, hey, this is what I believe. You know, I'm an Old Testament girl, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe in this, and that's it. Now, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, basically, to excuse my friends, either should have got off the pot, quite frankly. But
exactly.
We're running out of time, Sybil. I want to go ahead. You've got a great event coming up at the Marriott Marquis on March 29th. Tell us a little about
it. Oh, thank you for letting me promote that. It's called Night of a Thousand Gowns. It's the 28th annual Night of a Thousand Gowns with the Imperial Court of New York. You can find out all about it, the dates, the times, everything on Sybil Says. That's SYBILSEZ.com, SybilSays.com, or on my Facebook page. It's the Night of a Thousand Gowns Ball, and the beneficiaries this year are God's Love We Deliver, aren't they wonderful, and Cyndi Lauper's new True Colors for LGBT youth in America, two causes that are very important. Please look up Night of a Thousand Gowns. It's the 28th annual one. It's going to be a great night, and we're going to crown the new emperor and empress and say goodbye to our outgoing emperor, Emperor Wendy Bouvier Pinkhausen, and Gracie Steeles, Emperor 22 and Empress 27. It's like Mardi Gras, but here in New York. So please join us.
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
You can go ahead and check out Sybil Brunchen at the Cowgirl Restaurant once again in West Village, 519 Hudson Street. Call 212-633-1133 for reservations and for scheduling, too, to find out when you are there. Sybil, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you tonight. Once again, I admire your humanitarian efforts. I think you're a brilliant performer and the cornerstone of New York iconography, if that is a word, but truly, you're a blessing and a thrill to be around.
Yes.
And I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Thank you both. I'm all wrinkly. My fingers look like prunes, but I hope that we can do it again very soon. This bubble bath has gotten completely tepid, but I love you both. Thank you so much for inviting me into your home.
Thank you so much.
You take care,
Sybil. Enjoy your bath.
Thank you so much. And guys,
you can go ahead and check out Sybil at SybilBrunchen.com. Sorry, Vic, and SybilBrunchen.blogspot.com. And again, she said SybilSays.com. Brilliant. I'm so glad you got to meet her, Vic. She is absolutely hilarious, and really, quite frankly, some of the most brilliant, part of the most brilliant minds of this country.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to when you and I have the chance to visit New York again, because we're always there for work and sort of toying about doing things for events and stuff. I'll have to make sure I have the opportunity to go over there. And all of the websites that Michael mentioned when I started talking over you, I'm sorry, I was going to say that Shannon from the UK is actually posting all those websites inside the chat room. So you guys are, you know, you're more than welcome to go back in the chat room and find all of that information. But, yeah, really, really, really interesting, and I can't wait to actually have the opportunity to go and say hello in person, Michael.
No, absolutely. You'll love her. Vic, before we go ahead and leave, congratulations on a great first show with you and Stu on International Connection on Seabreeze FM out of New Zealand. You must be very, very tired. I know you walked from New Zealand home last night.
I am exhausted. I walked and I walked and I walked, and I just had to walk across continents and oceans and seas. And the good thing about walking that far, hopefully I've lost about 5 or 6 pounds, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are doing another show tomorrow at 3 o'clock U.S. time.
Actually,
correct?
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm on assignment somewhere else tomorrow, so I won't be able to do it at 3. So Stu and I are actually going to end up doing the show USA 5 o'clock, and I believe that's 11 o'clock in New Zealand. But we're going to go back to our regular 9 a.m. over there and 3 p.m. here. Just kind of a little hiccup, a glitch in my schedule tomorrow that I realize today. So, but he's going to let everybody on the air over there know what time we'll be on tomorrow, and I'll post all of that on Facebook. But yeah, it was fun. You know, whenever you do your first show, you're always a little nervous because it's the first show. But it appears that everyone really loved the news stories that I selected, people in New Zealand and also people here in America. So it was a lot of fun, and now I feel like I'm like digging in the dirt, and I'm ready. And kind of go ahead and continue to do this. And Stu's always really fun to talk to. He's very easy. You know, he's funny and always has something interesting to say. So, yeah, it was fun. So I just want to thank Stu and everyone else who were involved. And I'll be back on the air at 5 o'clock tomorrow USA time. Are we going to listen to some music when we say goodbye, Michael?
We are. I just want to go ahead and make a really funny mention, too. Your second lead story in New Zealand yesterday was the Taco Bell new waffle with bacon and eggs and stuff like that. You know what? That was last night on CNN. It was hilarious. I thought, Jesus, Vic has got her pulse on the American news like no one's business. But, yes, we're going to close with a little bit of music from Jesse. Terry, I want to thank Sybil Brunchen again. Go ahead and check the chat room for all the sites. But, again, congratulations to Sue and Vic on International Connection. And for At Home with Victoria, I'm entertainment co-host Michael Kay. Have a great night, Vic.
Good night.
About a quarter to nine, you can hear the boardwalk and the carnival ride. Then it's much too early just to sit at home, but you only see thorns as he hands you a rose as you lean on the hood of his car. His engine's warm, he's waiting for you. Tell me what you got. It's so hard for you to believe something real. You're always counting on rain, like it's always gonna fall the same. Oh, don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue skies go to your head. Flash of your childhood in his halogen light, you can picture him leaving without a goodbye. You gotta push that away, girl, or you'll never get out. And this cruel old world will keep crumbling down. You ain't always gonna be this young. His engine's warm, waiting for you. Tell me what you got to lose. It's so hard for you to believe it's something real. You're always counting on rain, like the snow's gonna fall the same. Oh, don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue sky go to your head. Oh, 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 it's a long, hard fall. Oh, 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 you can't lose them all. Oh, oh, don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue sky go to your head. Don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue sky go to your head.
You've been listening. You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.